Millions of years ago, under the pale moon of the blood sky, rose two brothers, formed out of the primordial clay of the virgin earth. Together, they would grow up and watch some of the most horrific movies in history. But their bond over entertainment was only trumped by that of booze, alcohol, and dick jokes. Welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. Welcome. Turn the volume up to 11. Get strapped in and prepare yourselves for Dawn of the Dead.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
OJ Simpson shirt, Jeremy. Is this in honor of the first day of the NFL season kicking off?
Yeah, and it's probably the best jersey to wear if you don't have like a Ray Rice or a Michael Vick jersey.
Yeah, or a Ray Carruth jersey, or an Aaron Hernandez is a good jersey to wear too. Aaron Hernandez, the guy who
he can murder people as long as he doesn't hurt dogs or Jewish women.
Jewish women. That's anti-Semitic. And for that, we thank you.
It's all in the mind.
It's in the mind's eye.
Look, I know he killed a guy, but as long as he doesn't fight dogs, he's okay with me.
So. Yeah. You know what?
Everybody wants to murder people.
I was on, I know you chimed in, but I did, I was on the Paco's Got Balls podcast this week, Jeremy.
Who was with you on the couch? I don't even think it was a lady and a guy that never said anything.
It was Pete Bergen. Bergen was on the couch, and then I don't know why the lady was there. I guess she was a fan of the show. I was confused.
Maybe she lives there.
I was confused by the entire situation, but there was like one bit that they were doing where they were talking about, How they sent a chocolate penis to somebody. There's a company that molds chocolate dicks, and then
they do anuses.
No, this is just they're not a chocolate anus company.
I've seen the chocolate anus.
I know that's a completely different. You're talking Haagen-Dazs and fucking Baskin Robbins right now. Two different things. Okay.
I want to know who does this, and number two, do they actually get your hair out removed before they put that chocolate in your anus?
Well, I had a lot of questions, but they said that this is an accurate representation of a local comedian's dick, which is Josh Koderna. And they were like, and it's this big black dick. And Josh Koderna, I was just like, he can't be the most gorgeous white man and have a giant black penis unless, like, is he so perfect that he has, like, his dick is black? Like, or does he do minstrel just for his dick? Like, oh, look at me, I'm Weird Al Dixon. That's his Al Jolson dick, and he just it's dick face, right? I couldn't say that on their show, but this is our show. So
the creepiest
part
is molding the chocolate, and as you're molding it, you're kind of getting off.
Yeah.
Until you finally like finish into the chocolate, and there's this extra bulge of liquid that shouldn't have been.
Oh yeah, that's the Cadbury egg at the end right there.
So you weren't supposed to have sex with the chocolate.
Do you have to nut every time we take a mold of you, sir?
Look, it only takes 10 seconds.
It's not easy doing my job, goddammit.
Best part, I go home and the dog cleans off all the chocolate.
Hell yeah, man. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth. Guestless once again. But my co-host is here, as always. My blood, my brother. The reason we even do this goddamn show, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Yeah,
Jeremy, how are you doing?
I know I've been here before. It's me, Ken Foray.
Ken Foray! Yeah. All right.
You fuck chickens?
I had seriously thought about fucking a chicken once or twice, but...
Why you think that we fuck chickens? Well, I think about looking at this guy with you. What? What? Let me at him. I'm Michael Berryman. Thank you, Michael Berryman. So.
Now, it's funny. Ken Foray, obviously, in the movie that we're going over tonight, who I've had the pleasure of meeting on two different occasions, but... It's you're referencing the movie
Devil's Rejects,
which I think we should mention. Sid Haig is in a horrible car accident and is in intensive care right now.
I knew he was in the hospital. I didn't know why or what.
Well, I thought it was maybe it's not a car accident, but they said some type of accident, and he's been in the ICU right now.
And Spider Baby is looking horribly old at the shows these days.
Spider Baby not looking great, huh?
Yeah, and he's looking like he's pushing 80 or something. So he's got to be old.
Well, Sid Haig doesn't even look healthy these days. He looks real skinny.
He's looking like he's losing weight, getting old weight. So, mm-hmm. And you hate you see your favorite icons die, but that's what I do going to these shows.
Yeah,
hey, I saw the last time before he died. Yeah, now he's dead.
Well, we're really pulling for Sid Haig. I've never met Sid Haig before, Jeremy, but I'm sure you have. How is Sid when you met him?
I've met him multiple times. I think I'd even got a picture with him as Pogo.
Oh yeah.
So
nice.
And of course he's Mr. Spalding, supposed to be a version of Gacy, of course, selling chicken and having sex with young whatever. So, you know.
Yeah, he's a good guy though. Good guy.
Yeah, so. Jeremy, and he also likes to wear a left-hander's t-shirt cuz he's a left-hander.
Do you know the only movie that we've done that has Sid Haig in it? The only movie that we've reviewed that has Sid Haig featured in it.
Oh gosh. We didn't do the Devil's Rejects.
We haven't done the Devil's Rejects at all.
We didn't do a Tarantino movie that had him in it?
Nope. Haven't done a Tarantino movie ever, actually.
Gosh.
But you're
I give up.
I'll give you a hint.
It's been a long time.
One of the actresses in a major motion picture from Quentin Tarantino was also the star of the movie that we did.
I give up. It's been a while.
It was Kim's pick when Kim was still on the show.
And it wasn't Coffee.
It was Coffee.
He wasn't Coffee. That's right. Oh,
he's the bad guy in Coffee.
That's only one of the few picks that Kim ever did. Okay, yeah, it was a bit part. Yeah.
Yeah, so there nice. You go. Shout out Sid Haig. Go back in the archive. Coffee, one of our most listened to episodes of all time. Sid Haig is...
And Sid Haig was, of course, supposed to be Marcellus originally.
He was supposed to be Marcellus Wallace. Yeah. I would have accepted him as a good Marcellus,
He's been a bad guy so long through the 70s, but I Ving Rhames, man, I don't think he...
Oh, he fucking nailed it. Ving Rhames nailed it.
I like Marcellus as Ving Rhames much better, so...
Jeremy, lots of cool stuff happened since we met last time.
It's been a long time.
It's been a couple weeks. I mean, we built up some episodes, and then we haven't met for a while.
I can't thank having quality time enough for the time it gets me away from my wife, because a full weekend of my wife almost makes me want to eat a bullet.
Yeah, I can imagine
that. It is so fucking horrible. It is like I've gotten to the point where I want to keep my marriage so I can get away from my wife as much as possible and still be married to her. So, and it's like,
that's the secret to a happy wife is never seeing each other.
Some weekends are just unbelievably
eat
a fucking bullet.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Just blow my fucking head off instead of hearing the whininess and the complaining. So, anyway.
Well, I guess. I'm going to be brief because I got a lot to go over. You know what? I'll save the Wendy roast for the next episode.
About it a little bit.
I mean, we haven't talked about it on the show at all. We haven't done Wendy roast at all.
Oh, we talked about it off the show. Okay.
We talked about it off show, but we haven't talked about it.
I listened to it on another podcast. That's why I know
about
it.
There you go.
Yay.
Now, this weekend, Jeremy, in fact, last night, since we're recording this now, I made it onto the Justin Scott and Spiegel Shouldn't Be on Television
right after program. Saturday Night Live on Saturday night.
Yes,
Sunday
that
morning.
Is correct. And
you made it to TV. Like Tom Myers.
I'm on TV now. Now, Jeremy, could you guess why I was on TV. Do you have any guess at all?
Maybe a story about something you've done that they know about that's probably bad.
That's accurate. That is accurate, actually.
Because you and Justin are like blood brothers now.
Okay, sorry. That was incredibly loud. I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to jack in something here so I could play with you. Play you a little bit of audio from the weekend here. So we went down to Winchester, Virginia. Or I'm sorry. We went to Virginia Beach, Virginia with the Murder Mystery Group. Had a great show, okay? Great show down in Virginia Beach. About 200-plus people there. Good-ass show.
We have an actual audio of what you did wrong?
Well, there's a little bit of audio I'm going to share here. All just right. just a little tidbit here. Little smidge.
My nipples are getting hard.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
But my penis is inverting into my body.
Is that right? Is that how it works?
It's an opposite boner.
They call me Opposite Boner McGee.
You know what's got to be the worst thing in the world?
What's that?
If you get like a sex change, but you still get so excited that your penis reinverts from your vagina to back outside your body, so it's like a bad belly button.
That's a good bit. That's a good ass bit.
My vagina has in inverted.
So
that's gotta be a nightmare. Oh my gosh, if that happens, it's like, well, that's the choices you make in life. Your inverted penis is now reinverted. So
I went over to We finished the show. We went over to this little pub right afterwards. Karaoke was great. It was karaoke night there. Me, Tommy, fucking Justin, we set it off. Justin went up and did the song Tequila. Where there's only three lyrics in the whole thing. Please, it's just say Tequila.
Please tell me you didn't. Please tell me you didn't do a DMX song.
I did a song with Tommy. We did Yoda.
You do that with the murder mystery, don't
you? No, we don't sing Yoda in the murder mystery, but we do sing another Weird Al song. And the one that we were singing, we actually, during the show, we actually have Weird.
Oh,
and,
that's right. Coolio.
Yeah, yeah. We have Weird and Al tattooed, well, written in marker on our stomachs. So we sang Yoda at karaoke and then we showed him our tattoo. And then people are going, you understand, people are going nuts. We're harmonizing. I got a perfect harmony going with Tommy. We fucking crushed this song.
What's your name?
Amish pair of guys.
Yes.
So we've really, and we take the bar over. We're getting people to fucking cheer for all the songs and stuff like that. But then we leave to go play our favorite game in the whole world at the hotel, which is Quiplash. And Quiplash is basically a game where you write in the funniest answer, and then people in the room on their phones basically vote for what the funniest one is. It's anonymous, so you don't know who it is. Put it like this. We write the most horrible things about each other possible, okay? The most horrible
things.
It's
not Quiplash. It's to see who's going to get into a fight.
Yeah, it's we really test our friendship every time we go and play this game. But we love it. It's fucking cathartic, and it's honestly my favorite fucking thing to do with these guys, right? So the game's going good, and I'm sitting there, and I'm more than a couple Red Bull and vodkas deep right now. I'm getting hammer timed.
Have the mindset of a Borg. The power inside your brain is boiling.
And I'm hitting my vape off because I like to hit my vape in the thing. And Jeremy, tell me what the cloud level is when I hit this, okay?
Oh geez, big hit. Nah, that's just normal.
Yeah, but a pretty
I've
big.
Seen
puff
kids
of...
at, I've seen kids at fish shows that can do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not the biggest one, but it's a big, pretty big pile of vapor.
And it's
right?
always and it's always pineapple watermelon. So
yes, it's always pineapple express watermelon bullshit, something like that. Well, midway through, we finish our second game. I take another big drag off this. I blow it out, and all of a sudden, the fucking fire alarm goes off in the room.
What are you doing, Ash?
So, right here, Jeremy, I'm going to show you this without trying to fuck up the audio too much.
Oh, gosh.
Here's a picture of me, a little video of me that Katie sent, with the fire alarm going off and me holding pillows over top of it, praying to God that it'll stop. Here it
goes. This inside your room?
Yes.
Alarm so it can stop. There's people outside. Sorry.
Gotta watch out.
I put shame on Montgomery's name.
That is the fire department light.
So
you know the point is that if you blow into it, it might make the smoke go out of it.
We tried everything. We took the thing off. It's like, it's all connected and shit like that. It goes off. We wait like five. We call down. And we're like, sorry, I was vaping in the room. Can you stop it,
they
please?
Give you a call.
Can you stop us? By the time we look out the window, there's a fire truck outside. And we're like, okay. And it's not just a regular fire truck. It's a full five alarm. Guys coming out with axes and everything. And I'm like, oh gosh. Now part of this, I need to be clear. Some of the members within this room may be a little bit medically enhanced.
Pretty
okay?
much all of them.
Well, listen, there's some people
pretty
there.
Pretty close to all.
There's some people there that have their medical marijuana card. That is also that have been ingested. Some people are there. Are now they're freaking out, right? So
look, actors are all clean and never do drugs.
So we immediately go. We immediately look at the people who have their medical card, and we're like, you need to take all this shit and get the fuck out of here right now. So we send a young Tommy Simbazo, who has his miracle marijuana card, just into the streets. He's just lost. We don't know where he is. He can't be found. He's just frightened and going around the streets of Virginia Beach. The police, another fire truck rolls up, a second one, okay? It's fucking serious. And holding three pillows over it because it is a horrible... It's a sound that, like, makes your insides hurt. It's so fucking loud. We look outside, and Justin decides to go talk to everybody downstairs. It seems to be going well. The fire department can't turn it off. They don't know how. It's just still going... The alarm is still going off in the room.
The hotel has to turn it off.
The hotel has to go it off, and the guy who can do it is not fucking there. So they decide to send... The fire department, one truck leaves, and then we look down from the window, and Justin is down by the fucking fire truck waving at us, and his pants are completely down. And he's just waving. He has no pants on. His pants are around his ankles, underwear and pants, and he's just waving at us like this. And I'm like, okay, that's not good. So we go back up there, and everybody's back now, and the fire department's left, but the alarm's still going off. So we call down, like, how much longer is this going to take? I mean, what the fuck is going on, right? We're like, we realize we did a bad. So they say some manager has to come in, and he lives like 45 minutes away.
Oh, gosh.
We called him a while ago. He's on his way.
Oh, gosh.
45 minutes goes by. It's still going off. And I'm like, we've got to figure out. This can't be how we do this.
Wow, that's a living hell.
So somebody relieved me of my duty because I've been holding the pillows there for a while. And
over your head against the ceiling?
Yes.
Nice.
And also, people have been pouring me drinks. So I was like, can I at least drink while I do this? I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed and I'm shamed, right?
I would have unplugged it. I would have unplugged the actual noisemaker.
There's no unplugging
tear
it.
Tear the little thing off
it. That wouldn't have worked.
Literally pull the wires out of the wall.
I mean, you're not going to do
it. Okay, then gun. Shooting into the thing making noise. So
that's a good idea.
That's the Jonathan Woodworth way of taking care of things.
So I then... I decided that at this point, I felt like we were being slighted, okay? And I'm also really hammered. And then I went into the bathroom and I peed in the top part of the toilet tank. And they were not... Listen, the other people were not happy with my antics at this point, okay? So now I'm inebriated, but I feel like we did something wrong, but not this wrong. These motherfuckers should turn this off. So I peed in the top part of the fucking toilet, and it wasn't like a regular... The toilet wasn't just like water. It had like a tank. So like I filled this little cap that doesn't drain like completely with like, so I did a bad.
It's not even mixed.
Yeah. It's not mixed in with the drink. It's just a shot of piss that's in the top.
Oh gosh.
Now. I close it back. I tell them what I did thinking they'll be proud of me for this. No, they're not, right?
You had to mix it up because you like the shower. Mm-hmm. You like to pee in the shower and preferably put the drain plug in.
Listen, when I get drunk, I like to pee in comical places, and this is the best place I could have thought.
Versus our friendly brother-in-law, which will pee in a night dresser.
So Justin thinks that when this was Justin's idea, when it went off, he took a lighter and burned his arm hair because he was just like, when they come in, they'll smell it. It'll smell like burnt arm hair, and I'll be like, I burned my arm hair, and that's what sent it off. I was like, that's not a better thing than just smelling like a pancake vape, which is what I'm vaping into the air. So the idea is ridiculous, right? So we all decide that we need to leave because we don't know when it's going to get turned off. We're going to go to the comedy condo, which Rob Mayer rents out across town, right? So we go to walk about 2-3 blocks over to there. And just as we're about to leave, Jeremy, we're all heading out because you hold it for as long as you can because we can't even pack up with that much noise, right?
All right.
So just as they do it, I release it, and like everybody's got everything. It's really loud. I pulled the vape one more time and just blew a giant cloud into the fucking room, and they looked at me like I was the biggest asshole that's ever existed. And they were like, Eric, what in the fuck are you doing? And I was like, what am I going to make it go off a fucking gen like this? Like, I tried to defend myself. Like, what, is it going to fucking go off a second time?
See, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Had you waited until the alarm went off and then fucking do it. That's being a big asshole.
That was a good bit. So, yeah, we went back to the comedy condo, and my antics weren't over, Jeremy.
So, you know, you give it at least 10 to 30 seconds, you're like, yeah, man, it's quiet in here again.
So, honest to God, it was a good bit, right? So, I'm in rare drunk form right now. I'm on cloud 7 drunk, right? We go back to the comedy condo. We hear the alarm gets turned off. So me and Tommy are staying at the comedy condo now. There's two couches there, and we're sleeping head to head like this in an L shape, right? L shaped couch. There's a little coffee table where like that separates the two couches. We got our phones there. We're charging our phones. I've been drinking even more heavily. More vodka has been poured into my body since this has happened. I'm fucking hammered. I can barely stammer a sentence together. I go to lay down for the night. My phone's plugged in. I take one last sip of my drink, which is very strong, and I put it down. I spill it, and it spills kind of on Tommy Simbazo's phone a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
And so I'm like, oh, it's good. Like, I pick it up out of the wetness. And I'm like, I get a little brush like this. I'm like, Tommy isn't looking. I'm like, everything's fine like this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I give it a brush. I'm like, and I look at it. I'm like, it seems pretty dry. I think we're good, right?
Screen's gone.
I set it over, like, out of the wetness, and it's sitting there. And a minute or two goes by. A sound from the phone starts being made that isn't good. That isn't good. All right. It starts making this moan, going wah, like this. And then a voice that says, moisture detected. Moisture
my God. Are you kidding me? Does he have an iPhone or is it an Android?
It's an Android. It's just going, moisture detected. Moisture detected.
Wait a second. Is his waterproof?
It's not waterproof.
No.
Well, I guess it was like where the cord went in, some water got in there. And he goes, moisture detected. So Tommy goes, what the fuck, Eric? So he's looking at it and he's blowing it. And part of me is like, I should probably help with this. And then instead of helping in my drunken stupor, I just immediately pretended to start snoring so I didn't have to deal with the situation. So my good friend Tommy Simbazo, I just started going, they were like, as soon as it started going off, I just was like, what do I do? And I was just like
damn, look what happened to your phone, dude? I don't know why it's making that noise.
So that was my real piece of shit weekend in Virginia Beach, where
living the good life.
I did a bad thing, guys. I did some bad things.
Well, I did a special song just for you because I know last time I was here we had a good time.
Yeah.
And when we were out on the deck together.
Yeah.
I wrote this song just for you.
Okay. Jeremy has a special song for me. I'm ready. We're about to hit play, and I don't know what this is.
We're doing this at the beginning because you can always edit it out just in case.
Okay, I'm ready.
You hate me for it.
I might not hate you. We'll see.
Might not.
Let's go.
Here it goes. Don't notice the timestamp on this.
Susie was just a little girl. She was only 5. But then one day happened. When she came off her lip, that's the day she was kicked out of the family. Never thought it would happen so young. She was kicked out of the family. Now she's on the streets of Baltimore. getting in the bad friend, doing some more. Now she's shooting heroin in her neck. She doesn't have Barbies. She has to make it the hard way in the streets of Baltimore.
Damn it.
That's why you should never get kicked out of the family, yeah. Kicked out of the family, yeah. That's a bad thing you don't want to do.
That's a good bit. I like it, Jeremy.
You don't want to end up like Sue.
Oh, God.
And then she died. And ate 5 3/4.
Well, that
wait,
was...
Wait.
A fentanyl.
God damn it.
Kicked out of the family.
Well, Jeremy, listen, Jeremy prefaced this by saying I wrote a song that might get me kicked off Quality Time, and you're not. I like it, actually. So I don't know if we told our listeners about this story, but about 2 weeks ago, my kids were having a squabble, just a regular childhood fight, and the older one comes out, Jane, and says, they were like, Susie did this and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a major thing. I don't even remember what it was. And then Susie, come here. And I called her in to the deck and was like, is Jane saying true? I was just like, and she was like, yeah, it is. And I was like, and I just looked at her just straight deadpan face. And I was like, well, Susie, you're out of the family. That's it. And she immediately started bursting into tears. I was like, oh, I'm so kidding. I'm kidding. You're still in the family, Susie. And I grabbed her, and I just felt like the biggest piece of shit in the whole world right there. And it was a bad bit. And what was worse is that after I hugged her and said I was sorry, I was just kidding. You're still very much in the family. She went inside and immediately ratted me out to Mom. And then Mom comes out. She's like, did you tell her daughter? Did you just tell her fucking daughter that she's out of the family? I was like, yep, that was me. I did that. Sorry about that. I didn't.
It was funny when we did it.
It sounded real good coming out. So
until we made her cry, we kind of felt bad.
Until she started crying, it was a really good bit. Man. So, well, we got to keep the show moving right along because, boy, we got a jam-packed one that we are way behind on. We have a couple. We actually only have a single Joe Robinson correction. Okay, so Joe Robinson's correction of the week. He really only said one thing, Jeremy, and then it was in regards to our Bloodsport episode. You referred to Asians as Orientals. That was it. That was his only correction.
There's no correction needed there. So
everything else completely factually correct about
they're,
our Bloodsport
episode.
They're
from the Orient, which is another word for the East.
Yes. So that was it. Good Joe Robinson correction right there.
I also like. I also have a love for colored people. So,
colored people. Yes. Color. Okay, that. You know,
and then I'm,
people
I'm,
of color
I'm
is what
with,
he meant to say. People
I'm,
of color.
I'm good with that. That organization and NAACP of colored people.
So, okay, got yeah. it. All right, good.
Totally politically correct.
Well, Jeremy, are we ready to get into tonight's topic? Because boy, do we got a doozy.
Hell yeah. I didn't even need to watch this movie because I've seen it at least 30 times.
I would say this is probably the movie I've probably also seen, one of the most viewed movies in that I've ever watched.
Although I hate to say that you pick little things that I didn't ever know, even seeing the movie that many times, that he actually calls, Savini calls... For a chocolate man.
Yeah, yeah.
I never heard that line during the movie because it's so fast.
Hey, chocolate man. Yeah. Tonight we're going over the George A. Romero classic, 1978's Dawn of the Dead. And God damn it, if this wasn't one of the first movies that actually traumatized me as a child. This movie scared the fuck out of me as a kid.
I think I've met more people from this movie than any other movie also.
Yeah, so you've met
everybody.
Ken Forey. You met Fran?
Definitely met Fran. I've met everyone. I've met Romero. I've met Mrs. Romero, who was in the opening shots. Mm-hmm. I've met how many of the zombies? I've met Machete Zombie Face. I've met the Hare Krishna zombie. I've met the bald guy zombie and his wife, who is actually the gun guy who does the guns in the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't meet the guy who actually held on to the gun, though. But I met the fat bald guy and the nurse. And I think I just met one of the females that gets thrown out of the truck after she gets her head blown off when he's trying to get the truck ready. So
man,
they do all the shows. Oh, even what's his name? I think Russo, who wrote it and wrote the original. Or I don't know who wrote. If was it Romero that wrote Dawn versus Night of the Living Dead?
I thought he wrote all.
Russo
all of
might
them,
have
but...
wrote it. I don't know. I don't know all the. But I've met some of the originals mix, so...
Man, here's a fun trivia question for you, though, Jeremy. Can you name the three actors that were in this movie, okay? Three actors from this movie that were also in the remake?
Too damn easy.
Okay, give them to me.
Well, actually, if you count the shoe store where the gay guy's trying on the shoes is actually called Galen Ross Shoes. So her name is mentioned also in the new Dawn of the Dead. But, of course, you have Foray, who plays the priest. You have Scotty, who plays the colonel on the TV
also. Plays the general, yep.
And then, of course, there's Mr. Savini playing the guy on the TV. And he's like, hey, you got a shooter, man. He's a twitcher.
Yeah, that's it.
And as soon as it came out, he had his T-shirts that said, she's a twitcher.
Mm.
And I don't think he ever sold them again, so...
That's a good pull. So,
Twitchy
yeah, Jeremy,
t-shirts.
100%, you got
so
all three.
So, technically, there's a fourth name. That was Galen's name. So.
But that's just a name. I'm not
but
counting
technically
it.
Technically, she's in it.
So, yeah, man, this is... I remember, Jeremy, you had this on VHS.
And, of course, Burt Reynolds and Jay Leno. So.
Yeah.
So. And Rosie O'Donnell. So.
You had this on VHS tape, and I probably watched it at least more than a dozen times as a child.
But if you get the special Dawn of the Dead with, like, three different versions, there's the one version that you just watched that's, like, 3 hours long.
Yeah, I watched it for this episode, which is actually, it's currently free on YouTube. You can watch the full extended supercut of it, which is 2 hours and 34-minute running time, which is 34 minutes way too long.
Oh, here, are you ready to do the second to third?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How many people from the second film are actually in the third film?
That would be the general Russo, right? He's in this one,
right? Pilato is one of the cops from the boat scene.
Yeah, Pilato's in it, and then I don't know who.
Come on, this is easy.
George Romero?
No, I don't think Romero's in the third one.
Okay, because he makes a cameo in this.
I don't think so.
Okay, you don't think
you a hint. He's a Romero love child. Been at least three Romero films.
I don't know.
Oh,
how many are
easy.
There total?
How many total that he's been in?
Well, how many total people are from Dawn that are in Day
I'm going to say
Dead?
Two off the top of my head. There might be a third.
Okay, well, what's the other one? I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. He plays a Mexican in the second movie.
Plays a Mexican in the second movie.
Or he plays
movie?
A Central American person.
I guess I don't. I really don't know. I'm lost, Jeremy. I'm out here.
Romero's first film, he was called Martin. Hence, in Dawn of the Dead, he's called Martinez.
Oh.
So he's the guy with the little goatee in Day of the Dead. It's a John Amplis. So.
Oh, okay.
What is he in Dawn of the Dead? In Dawn of the Dead, he's Martinez.
Oh, he's the guy on the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right. Yeah, I got you. All
I told
right,
you
yeah.
He's Martin in the movie where he's a Dracula guy.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. I forget his character's name in Day of the Dead, but.
All right. Well, yeah. But I do remember this is one of the first movies I would have nightmares about. And in retrospect, watching it, it's not that scary of a movie anymore. It doesn't. Well, I feel like. This is the movie that set the zombie genre. Like, Night of the Living Dead, it was good. Don't get me wrong. But it was in black and white, and the zombies were meh, okay. But this is the one where it got the idea of, like, oh, yeah, zombies are everywhere. There's nothing you can fucking do, and they never, ever stop. They're just always out to fucking eat you to death. And I just remember waking up in cold sweats in the middle of the night sometimes, looking out my window, expecting to see fucking hordes of zombies outside, and being very relieved that there wasn't. So
you get to the point in the movie, the Night of the Dead 90, where what's her name? I forget her name off the Patricia something. She's like, we can walk right past them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can walk right and just shoot them right in the head. It's not like they're running at you like the remake of the Dawn of the Dead. So
the biggest problem is like when you watch Dawn of the Dead after a viewer who, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, right? You watch this and you're like, they're wasting a lot of fucking ammo. These guys are fucking, what are these amateurs doing, right? Like, there's a lot of things that you're like, aren't you living in a zombie world? How do you not know how to deal with this, right?
You know what really amps up a zombie movie? Zombie dogs.
Zombie dog. That's what
that
you need.
Is
That's
scary.
What this needed, right?
That's even worse than fast zombies.
Hell yeah, dude. So,
and also, the you know what's worse than fast zombies?
What's that?
Zombies that only want to eat your genitals. We want to eat your dick. Oh my god! So you have like the biggest, biggest strapping thing around codpiece that you can find. Night of the Living Dick Zombies.
Dick Zombies.
Oh so, gosh.
So the movie starts off with total mayhem at the local news station. And if you notice, right from the get-go, there's a nice cameo from director George Romero,
and his
R.I.P.
wife. And his wife right next to him.
Yeah, they're working the control boards at the TV station.
Who I just met, I think, at a chiller, and she's getting up there.
And we get to hear some local TV pundits at Philadelphia news station talk about the situation at hand.
People aren't willing to accept your solutions, Doctor, and I, for one, don't blame
them. Did you say Philly?
A dead body that is not exterminated becomes one of them. It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
Whoa. That's some ominous words to start off. Because, listen, we're used to zombies. They're still teaching us here in 78, right? We're still learning how zombies work, right?
You know, until Frankenstein really proved that, you know, you take away everything that's not necessary for a human being, it's like all the guts are gone. But if it's just the brain stem, you still have a zombie.
Yeah, you can do that shit, right?
Which proves that they're actually dead.
So we meet our heroine, Franny, who is the very lovely actress, Jeremy.
Galen Ross.
And she does the first heroic act and shuts down the false rescue station information on the TV.
Can you name another George Romero movie that she's in?
I can't. No, I definitely can't.
I'll give you a hint. It was with somebody from a show called Becker.
Okay, so Ted Danson. And her.
She's
Creepshow.
She's buried up to her.
I forgot
in the
she's
sand.
She's the chick from Creepshow. You're right.
She didn't hold her breath.
You got to hold your breath. Yeah, Ted. You got to hold your breath.
That's her other Romero claim to fame.
That's good, man. And we've Creepshow episode like somewhere in the hundreds there. You can go back and watch our Creepshow episode. Two good eps back in the archives. We also get to meet our other hero, Flyboy, who is
Scotty Renninger.
And how is he in real life, Jeremy?
He looked horribly old. Mm-hmm. Meeting him, very nice, very friendly, and I think he really kind of got off when I called him. He's not Flyboy. I'm talking about Embry. It's David Embry. It's not Flyboy. So anyway, I totally screwed up. Let's just start
Stephen
over.
Flyboy.
Stephen yeah. Flyboy, David Embry. There you
David
go.
Embry. Yeah. And he was not old. He was nice.
Well, he's all right, but he's still looking kind of rough. And I mentioned how they use his image on like cartoon for this joke video called Oldies or something.
Something like that.
Anyway, I forget it.
So Flyboy comes over and he delivers the plans of where they're going from here.
Meet me on the roof at 9 o'clock. Getting out.
I don't believe
We're
it.
We're
going to
get out in the chopper.
Steven, we can't. We've got...
It's 9 p.m. all right.
Steven, we can't. We've got to...
We've got to nothing, Fran. We've got to survive. Somebody's got to survive. Now, you be upstairs at 9 o'clock and don't make me come looking for you.
Go ahead. By the way, if you... Everything Steven says to Fran in this movie does not hold up in 2019. He completely treats her like a helpless piece of shit in this movie. When we find out that Fran is actually one of the stronger characters in the survivors in this story.
Can I just say that David Embry, worst fight scene ever with a zombie. So.
Yeah, well, we'll get to how he doesn't know how to use a fucking hammer soon enough. If Thor looked at the way that this guy uses a hammer, he's a fucking loser.
I've seen Professor professional wrestling fights that are better.
So. I got some audio queued up, too, for when he shoots the gun. Anyway, all right, look. So next, we're taken to a SWAT team in the mean streets of Philadelphia. They're trying to take down a local gang within there, and there's also a shit ton of zombies. And
the nasty racist cop.
Yeah, we get a good old regular Philadelphia police officer who is a real piece of shit. And we meet our good cop, Roger, who strangely looks like our deceased Uncle John. That's how I always equated Uncle John, is Roger from this film. Yeah, I always thought he looked like him. I don't know why.
I don't know. Either way,
he is a maniac and is super dead now. So we also meet this high-level piece of shit right here who is ready to call out the Puerto Rican gang that's within there. And here's this audio clip here.
Come on, Martinez.
Yeah, come on, Martinez. Show your greasy little Puerto Rican ass so I can blow it right off.
Oh, great. I said Mexican as opposed to Puerto Rican.
Low-life bastards. Blow all their low-life little Puerto Rican and nigger asses right
off. Oh, jeez. And then Roger looks over like, come on, man. We don't use that word anymore. It's 78,
guess
bro.
Guess what? He's the bad cop.
He's the bad cop. So,
But he's not discriminating in who he wants to kill.
So, The gang members then kick out the door and they start shooting, and the rookie cop next to Roger and this real racist cop gets shot in the head. And shit is fucking on from there. So they pump the place full of fucking gas, and they do a full-on assault. But the huge racist cop, Willie, is going apeshit, blowing away any person of color that is visible within this place. He just has a shotgun. There's one where he just kicks open a door and just blows some random... You don't know if it's a zombie or just a regular black guy. He just gets his head blown to smithereens.
I like the background on that scene is that... Apparently, they did a facial mask of Galen Ross that was actually the head that was blown away in that scene.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Tried
That's
to make
really
it
cool.
look more like a guy, but it's actually her face.
I do remember watching the scene over and over again, and specifically the part where the head gets completely exploded. I'm like,
That's the pleasures of DVD. You get that frame by frame versus the VHS in the old days.
So they go to... the huge racist cop, Willie, is going apeshit, and the other cops see he's out of control. Roger goes and hops on his back, trying to stop him from going on this fucking killing spree, and then a masked cop pulls his M16 out and then blows Willie away, shooting him in the back. And
I wonder who that masked cop was.
And we don't know who it is. He just kind of walks off and then goes. So... now, the room that Willie opened up is a room of horrors. It has multiple zombies in it, and we get to see this guy looking at it. So we know we have to stop the brain of a zombie.
I like to call him Stumpy.
I don't even call this guy Stumpy. I'm talking about the guy who, the black cop who's telling him what the other guy should do.
Shoot it.
Right here.
Shoot it in the head.
He looks kind of like Chris Rock, I think, like, if you ever look at it. The guy who says this line right here, just if you look at it, he looks like a young Chris Rock.
Shoot it, man. Shoot it in the head.
I was gonna say the cop that makes funny noises in Police Academy, but it's
so,
just me.
It gets extreme. This one white cop is trying to shoot it, but his gun is jammed. Another zombie comes in, and Roger and the black cop are trying to deal with other two.
Can I say who the female zombie looks like?
Who's that?
To me, she looks exactly like...
Pam Grier.
Janet Jackson.
I can see
really
that.
Really big.
Double
fro.
J.
Giant fro.
She's hot, though. Out of all the zombies in this movie, the second most likely one I'd have sex with.
I just want to say Janet Jackson, Zombie Nation.
Fuck
so.
Yeah. So the one zombie with one leg slowly crawls over
Stumpy.
To the rookie cop, and the rookie cop is able to get his gun out just in time and load it and shoots it in the head. The third zombie leaves and exits, and then I guess finds his wife in before he had turned to zombie.
I just want to say he kind of looks like Blackula.
He looks a little bit like Blackula. Little bit like Blackula, and some good gore happens here as he takes a big chunk out of her fucking trapezoid here, and then another big chunk out of her arm. And then the cops
and
blow that one away,
too. She seems upset when
too.
She's being bitten.
Yeah, she doesn't like to be bit. I don't get it. So,
Did you see the did you see the video with some crazy bitch on some guy's windshield? And she's messing with the wipers, and then when she gets in his car, she like tears her out, and she can't be more than like 90 pounds, and he's like just trying to keep her away, and then she bites him, and he is like, oh my god! Probably like biting him near his ear, armpit, and I'm like, oh no. I would be like straight to punching as hard as I could.
I've not seen this video, but woo! I'm into it already.
Yeah, she's,
I'm into
that's, it. That was her only fighting chance.
It also should be noted that this cop who killed a single zombie then sits in the corner and then blows his own brains out because he can't handle the stress of just killing some people. Like, it. Listen, in this day and age, if a cop can't shoot an unarmed black person and handle it, maybe you need to kill yourself at this point. This is...
And also, they're already dead.
They're already dead. I'm sorry, bad off-color joke, but you know, listen, if you can't hang on the Philadelphia police force, if you can't create some and feel comfortable with doing atrocities, okay?
On TV, there for the mainline audience, you'll get like your typical William Shatner, and he'd be like, "Oh, I have taken a human life." Whereas in real life, the cops are like, hey, I shot him in the head. He was awesome. Yeah, yeah, his head exploded. Let's do a drink.
So Roger, one of our heroes, the short man, as I like to call him from time to time, he heads downstairs to confront the gunman who shot racist Willie.
You was in Willie's unit, wasn't you?
I didn't see that. I didn't see how he died.
You running?
I don't mean because of Wooly. I mean because of all this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Man, there's a lot of people who are running out. I could run. I could run right tonight. A friend of mine, he's got this helicopter. He does traffic reports for GON and he's running out with it. He asked me to come with him. Think it's right to run?
Did you notice the WGON copter made it to the remake of Dawn of the Dead also?
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they're flying overhead when the car goes across the street and hits the gas station.
WGON, we're outrunning the apocalypse.
I have to say, I don't really like the acting of the priest with the one leg.
Yeah, so they're interrupted by that big dun-dun. There's a priest with one leg that comes in, and he's a Haitian priest who is a real amputee in the film. Yeah. Who, honest to God, for an amputee, deals with it really quite well. He almost walks seamlessly, and I don't like that. I wish he was a little bit more gimp. But he's so used to walking on one leg with a crutch that he almost moves as fast as any other person in the apocalypse here.
I just kind of wish they had another actor that was better to actually cut their own leg off so they could do the scene. So.
Listen, Mr. Crow...
Well, you gotta make sacrifices as an actor. So.
Sometimes you gotta cut off a leg so you can get into the part.
I was a gimbly gimbly goo, so just so I could get this part.
Listen, I know Robert De Niro at one time. He actually lost 70 pounds, but he never cut off a limb. All right, so that makes me now the greatest actor who's ever lived.
Who's the guy?
I'm Russell Crowe.
Who's the guy that died of heroin? The fat one, Seymour Jane Hoffman.
Philip Seymour.
I'm pretty
Hoffman,
sure.
Yeah.
I see pretty much Jane Seymour Hoffman cut his own dick off just to do roles. So.
Yeah, well, he actually, a little fact that you don't know about Philip Seymour Hoffman, when he died, he was actually just getting ready to play Kurt Cobain, and it was an accidental overdose. He was really just trying to get into the role more than anything.
the Kurt Cobain plus 100 pounds.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but he was so dedicated to being an actor that he started doing heroin to play Cobain.
And then the part was handed to Justin Bieber.
Yeah, so. And then Justin Bieber, you know, a real
as
actor.
Kurt Cobain?
Yeah. So downstairs... basically, this priest tells him that he read the last rites to everybody in the other room. You know, do what you will. And Peter starts, he walks in and just sees this fucking horrible room of horrors, which is probably about, two dozen zombies that are kind of writhing on the floor, eating the remains of some warm flesh. Some of them are tied up, and it's just a fucking orgy of the dead down there. So Peter starts taking them out one by one, fucking headshot after headshot.
I don't know how they really messed up this soundtrack for this version of it, because it was perfect in the original. But when he starts off with just that bass, like boom, doom,
boom, boom. Bam, bam.
I don't know what they played it in this, if they changed it or not.
Roger actually comes over to help Peter at one point when a zombie is closing in on his foot. They're having a real buddy cop situation at this point. And they clear the room except for one when Roger asks this.
Why do these people keep them here?
Because they still believe there's respect in dying.
Ooh, and then he shoots that last one in the head.
You know, sometimes your loved ones, you just keep them in a room in the basement where they just writhe about like animals and like, hey, you know, grandpa's still down there. If you want to visit him, give him a nice fresh leg.
If you want to talk to him, you gotta go give him a ham hock, all right? You give him a pinky, he's gonna be your best friend for the rest of your life.
Oh, well.
So next, we see a flyboy go to land and pick up Roger, but Roger's not at the meet point. The post that they're at is abandoned, and the operator is dead. They meet some ne'er-do-well cops that seem like they're going to jack him up, but they see Roger come up, and they know it's him, so they're all cool about it. And one of the guys we had mentioned earlier is actually the main Joe Pilato, who's actually the main guy in the next George Romero classic, which is Day of the Dead. He plays the dickhead general that's living underneath, or the dickhead colonel that runs his operation with an iron fist.
And he is the reason why Wishmaster was released.
Is that right?
Because he ran the crane that let Wishmaster out of his cage.
If only
he hadn't been drunk that day, the Wishmaster wouldn't have been released. Wah, wah, wah.
Hello, it is me, the Wishmaster. But I can get you drunk and operating cranes every single day.
the other claim to fame is him playing Dean Martin in Pulp Fiction in the Jackrabbit Slim's restaurant.
Oh, okay.
When I met him, he was definitely really full of energy. He did talk on his phone a bit, but he also did a lot of singing. He shows off when he was doing the shows until he died. So he loved the fame and loved the fans. So
I love him too. And yeah. R.I.P. R.I.P.
Dead celebrity I've met. Dead now.
Nah, Jeremy, you'll be meeting him soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So they also meet this really goober cop, and I don't know why. I ripped the audio for this because I used to love how fucking stupid of an actor the guy they picked for this is. They get this little interaction with one of the cops who's going off to find an island.
Hey, you got any cigarettes?
Any of you guys got cigarettes? No, I'm sorry.
Where are you headed?
Downriver. We got an idea. Maybe we can make it to the island.
What island?
Any island. What about you? Where are you headed?
Straight up.
And he makes this face.
Oh,
and he makes this face that... Yeah, if there was a sound that described the face, who knew they're a helicopter? God, it's one of the fucking cringiest moments in this movie.
I compare it to the two twins in UHF that go...
Yeah, it's a pretty dumb scene, and I love it to death, and I can't undo it. So they take off and they head. It's Peter, Fran, Flyboy, and Roger
going towards Pittsburgh.
And where are they headed? Who knows? I don't know.
Towards Pittsburgh.
Fran also asks this really cringy thing, asking if he's left behind any brothers. And I mean
black brothers or real brothers.
You know, real brothers or street brothers.
Both.
I'm actually from the suburbs.
The real ones.
Two.
Yeah, that was it.
Do you like white bitches?
Do you like... Are you into ebony porn? Or... I know that's not a thing for another 20 years, but... You know, I'm very progressive, and let's face it, Roger has a, or Steve has a really small peen, so.
I'm also 164th Indian.
164th Indian. So
that's how I got through college.
So as they're flying outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, they see the redneck contingency below. And this is a scene that probably didn't need to be in the movie. But again, I love it as they play this little song called I'm a Man as the rednecks are just having the time of their life. Because honestly, when the end of the world happens, you need to find your local rednecks. They're the only ones that are going to be fine throughout this entire situation.
Zombies are going through the cities. They're eating people. Woo!
Yeah.
I've been waiting all my life for this.
I told you there were cesspools.
And then your cheap gun jams, and then you're dead.
Yeah.
So
they, the rednecks, I pulled a little audio from this so you can hear this.
Those rednecks are probably enjoying the whole thing.
They're probably listening to country music as they kill the zombies. I never treat a woman right.
Yeah. I like that they're all just hanging out by, like, tanks and stuff with beers. They just have beers and guns.
And a howitzer.
I'm a man. I'm a man.
I like they did actually have real artillery.
Center of attraction. Behind you. Yeah, zombies roll up behind me like, behind you, drop down. Boom, boom, boom. Woo, yeah.
Here, buy your car.
Shoot the gas tank.
I don't know why they say shoot the gas tank and then they do and it explodes. They're like, oh my God, who knew that would happen? Nobody's injured when this gas tank explodes, but I just think it's a very fun choice by George Romero to show how the rednecks are living.
This is the perfect time when it's quiet where they're just kind of aiming, shooting, like perfect time for some really bad music. Like,
well, I love the fact that George Romero says that it's funny. He clearly grew up in, like, central Pennsylvania and, as we like to call it here in Maryland, Pennsyltucky. It's where our closest real rednecks really live. I mean, we have some out in western Maryland and stuff like that. But the real heart of, like, if you want to see Confederate flags where they shouldn't be, just go to anywhere in middle Pennsylvania and you could see it.
I lived in Rosedale, and I swear that Walmart, every once in a while, got the guys walking in there with just wife beaters and definitely look like the most out of the sticks I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, it's funny how George Romero, I mean, we haven't really talked about this, but this whole movie is really kind of like the Communist Manifesto brought to life. And there's an undertone of communism about how it's everybody, the zombies are the people that all band together so that they can overthrow. But also, people are fucking idiots, right? There's some undertones of that. But he clearly hates, you know, he doesn't like hillbillies, but he also respects them to enough where he says, oh yeah, if communism like overthrow the country, we could never stop the rednecks though. Like, they just have to live out in the sticks and we have to leave them alone because there's nothing we can do to stop them.
I hate to say that no matter how pretentious the film is, it's like, well, it comes down to whether you have guns or not, because guns are everything in the apocalypse. So
it is true, because it doesn't matter how liberal you are, when shit hits the fan, if you don't have a gun, you're fucked.
And make sure you have enough guns when Negan tries to take them from you.
Yes, exactly.
Does that nice little whistle.
So they then go and land at a little gas station so they can see if they can find and scavenge for fuel. Flyboy Peter and Flan, or in Fran, Flan. I'm only going to refer to it as Flan for the rest of the episode.
They brought the Flan, thank God.
We got the Flan, yes! We need all the Flan! And
we didn't stop the Flan! No,
it was always Flan, and since the Flan was Flan, and Flan, oh, Flan, gosh. Flan, Flan, Flan.
We've officially drank enough that we start to say stupid things.
This is the dumbest episode we've done so far. So Flyboy and Fran end up getting attacked at one point. part, and so does Peter. Well, he goes off by himself by two little zombie kids.
Did you read who the zombie kids are?
No. Who are the zombie kids?
They're actually Tom Savini's own kids.
It's Tom Savini's own little shits.
Well,
Look at that.
I think they had their names that I read, but I'm not going to look it up this second. Also, they said the little kids were the only kids in the only zombies in the movie that actually went full speed.
They just run
out at them, so.
Because they're young and virile, that's why. I like that. So, during this attack, we learn a couple things. One, that basically, Peter is a badass. Peter basically takes these little kids, he tries not to kill them, and then he just chucks both of Savini's kids on the thing and unloads on them with an M16. Pretty badass, right? Secondly, we learned that Flyboy has no skills of survival at all. He's walking around with a hammer. He doesn't know how to use it. He can't kill a zombie to save his life. At one point, he just runs up behind one zombie this zombie's minding its own business, okay? It doesn't notice him. It doesn't know where he is. He comes up from behind. You know it's a headshot. He comes with a hammer, doesn't hit him with the hammer, but uppercuts him under the elbow, like underneath the armpit. It's the most useless fucking attack I've ever seen.
Throwing his body into the other body in a horrible way.
It's and producing yourself an attack of opportunity in Dungeons & Dragons terms, because now you're rolling around with a fucking flesh-eating mongrel on the ground. It makes no sense. Thor would have a fucking field day with the way he uses a hammer.
I just really like to see a new version of Dawn of the Dead where Galen Ross, the character, would just be watching him try to fight and just trying to keep from laughing her ass off, like, as he's writhing on the ground with his
yes. So,
I hate to say this. This got me off.
Go
so
for
bad.
It. Get off.
You get the turn off. You get the close up when Ken is in the room with the two zombie dead kids. And the third zombie gets shot in there.
Yeah, Ken Forey.
He's against the
AKA
machine.
Peter.
He's against the vending machine, and all the treats are like 15 cents.
Oh, God, look at that.
It was
a deal.
So long ago. I'm like, man, when chocolates were so cheap back then.
Inflation is a motherfucker.
Oh, man. And it's 78.
Hey, and I'll tell you one thing. After this communist zombie revolution happened, those prices were fixed. So they stayed at that rate since that day. So
days when hamburgers are still only 50 cents.
We also learned that Flyboy can't shoot a rifle at all. He takes a rifle and misses three times. And then Roger comes over and does one shot. Boom, kills. And then he sees another zombie rolling up on our buddy Peter, a.k.a. Ken Forey. And he goes to shoot at the zombie and almost shoots Peter. So Peter jumps out of the way.
Flyboy almost shoots Ken Forey.
Yeah, he almost shoots him. And then he ducks out of the way at the last minute and then misses because he's a horrible shot. Roger comes over, kills the zombie one shot, no problem.
And of course, this is the face zombie from the title of the film used.
This is the titular zombie.
And I think this is the most famous zombie that was reused in Walking Dead as a cameo, I think probably in the fifth or sixth season where
that
you recognize
true.
Him. So.
Yeah. So he's on the poster. This is the zombie, the poster zombie, if you will.
I hate to say this because it drove me crazy that in my art class back in when I was in high school, I was like, I'm going to make my own Dawn of the Dead t-shirt.
I remember it. You made a nice little stencil
of it. I wish I knew where the fuck that went. But.
You made a couple shirts, man. I love that stencil. It was good.
The other thing that also made me want to make it because I could never afford anything was the same shirt that Cliff Burton from Metallica wore on stage. So he had a Dawn of the Dead t-shirt.
Wow, I didn't know that. That rocks. So, okay, cool.
Fuck yeah.
So, old Ken Forey comes out to teach Flyboy a little lesson in gun safety. He throws him on the ground and then points the gun at him and says this.
Never aim a gun at anyone, mister.
Peter, my God, what are you doing?
Scary, isn't it?
Which, oddly enough, this is exactly how my dad taught me gun safety. He threw me on the ground and then pointed a Glock at my head and then said, "Scary, isn't it? You don't like that, do
Please
you?"
Tell me that didn't happen.
He didn't really do that, but doesn't it sound like something our dad would do?
It sounds like something our Uncle John would do.
Yeah, it's scary to look at a gun, isn't it? So
I'm pretty sure he did that to all of his children.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You just want
to learn about a gun?
Is this scary to you? So
now, Dad would never do something that harsh. He would just fire a gun in the air when Mom was walking away from him. So
there's also one more scene of note during this little scavenging thing. There's one zombie that rolls up on Roger that has the chopper blades, and he has a mysteriously weird flat top head.
Looks kind of like somebody from Super Jail.
Yeah, like a Super Jail. He looks like he's about to hunt down Dick Tracy. That's the best way to describe
this
zombie.
Why is his head so large?
Why is it so large and flat at the top? And we find out he climbs on some boxes and then gets the top of his head ripped off by the blades of the chopper. And just gets his own head cut off, which is pretty cool. I mean, honestly, the first time I saw it, I was like, that looks weird. Oh, that's bad.
Can you run
some
some informational video music?
I probably can.
You can just make it off your voice.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Dun dun dun.
An important thing to learn is when you're around a chopper, don't climb up on boxes when the blades are near your fat head. Good things to learn. Now you know.
There we go. That was good. I'm like Michael Winslow of the show. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Whatever saves us a minute. This is going to be like another 5 hours.
Yeah, we have only 5 more hours to go of that. So they fly around, and then all of a sudden, they find their cash crop. It's a big indoor mall.
What the hell is it?
Looks like a shopping center. One of those big indoor malls.
So, it looks like it's overrun by zombies, but they decide to go land on the rooftop
of this
place. You
know what my favorite mall is?
What's that?
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. Yeah. Now,
or Lord Maul, as some people call him.
Now, we're getting close to the end of episode one here, Jeremy, but the mall itself is still an operational
Monroeville,
and every year they shut down the mall so they can have a Dawn of the Dead Day, and you and I have not been to this yet, Jeremy, haven't we?
I'm really wondering what percentage of the mall from the original is actually still there anymore. That's the thing. Oh no, that's not true. I know exactly. My show friend named Martha Sandusky. She got a picture of outside the window where the fat guy was rolling against the window with all the other zombies. So that part of the window of the mall is definitely still there.
I saw. I watched a video on YouTube of some guy who went like recently, and he tried to recreate some of the shots from the thing. There's a couple of fixtures that are still the same from the 78. Like some of the lighting is still the same.
I'm going to guess the Brown Derby's still there.
I don't know. We're going to have to see.
JCPenney might still be there.
Can I play that horrible Atari game still? That's what I want to know.
Gosh.
The Atari driving game.
Man, you know those games are probably gone after the 70s for that matter.
Yeah,
so.
There's some really shitty arcade games in there that
there is anywhere in Pittsburgh, there's got to be like a distributor that knows where those games actually came from and went.
Yeah,
no, my buddy, he'll know. He's like, oh, I know where these games are. Guy Randy up in Atlantic City, he's like, I got these games from Disney World themselves. And gamers are like, oh, it's like crack for them too. It's like, oh, this was in Disney World. You know what I mean? They love that shit. The gamers that are in Pittsburgh, they probably know where those games actually are.
I mean, we got to find one of these. I want to own one of the games from the movie Dawn of the Dead.
Dude, that game with the shooting of the cowboys, that could probably cost several $100s.
Dude, I got it. I got tens of dollars to throw down on this.
Not to mention that I don't know if it was an Atari F1 racer where it was actually like a magnified little track.
Yeah,
inside
dude, it's
the
a
thing.
Bad game. It's not a good game. It's a bad game. And I want to play it.
Probably the chance of repairing it if it ever breaks, like 0%.
You have to know how to do artwork by hand to make it work. So they land on the roof. They break through a window, and it's closed off. But they find like this closed off section of the mall that they're able to drop in.
Where the security guards usually rape people.
Yeah. It's the interrogation room for all the mall goers to try to do shoplifting here in Pennsylvania.
I'm pretty sure because I've seen videos on certain places on the internet where they actually rape them. So,
and it's
totally real.
Okay, that makes sense. It makes sense.
I've given up too much just saying that.
So
it's like a whole thing now. They do like I've seen like 10 of them.
Welcome to Epstein Studios interrogation offices. My name is Jeffrey Epstein. I'm going to be your rapist for today.
But the good thing about those porns, they encourage men to rape women for their shit jobs. So.
This is horrible.
It's great.
This is bad. This is bad.
It's the end of society.
We're canceled. So anyway, I don't know why I love
people
this line.
People might have actually still had respect for me until they knew that. So.
I don't know why I love this line so much, but there's boxes of canned spam that they find.
Spam!
And, I don't know why I love this line so much, but I'm going to play it.
Looks like a free lunch.
Spam.
Did you bring a can opener?
No.
No, I guess I didn't.
And don't knock it. It's got its own key.
I like that, like, in 78, they're like, you don't even need a can opener. You know why? It's got its own little fucking tab. That was groundbreaking technology
of
the day.
That deserved a song right there.
That don't knock it. It's got its own key. So, I don't know. I'm going to keep going a little bit longer. We're going to go through one more scene. So Peter and Roger go to investigate down the steps, leaving Flyboy and Franny behind. They find some walkie-talkies, and then they go to hit the mall proper. And while overrun with the dead, they don't seem to have too much access to the top floor where they're at, and there's not too many zombies up there. Now, in the control room, they find keys to the palace, and they decide to power up the entire place and hit all the buttons, saying, you know, some ambient noise might be good for us.
Hit them all!
Right here.
How about a little music?
What?
Might cover the noise we make.
Hit them all. Might as well have power and everything. We might need it.
Whoop! And a slide whistle has never been used more effectively than in this film.
Wait for it.
God, I love... If you went into a mall and that's the music that was playing, would you...
Definitely my inspiration for the alternate quality time song, so... Get the slide whistle.
So, Pete and Roger, with the keys to the palace and a little bit of background music to get things going, head into fucking action. And they start fucking up the dead left and right. Things get a little bit tense when they're trying to open this tricky door to the department store. And the dead close in on them, but they're barely able to get inside the glass doors and close it as the horde closes in on them. Roger, unfortunately, loses his M16 in the process, but the boys are in.
We're in! Now, how the hell are we going to get back?
Who the hell cares? Let's go shopping first!
Watch it!
Hey, let's get the stuff we need. I'll get a television and a radio.
Oh, wait a minute. Chocolate.
Okay.
By the way, I'm pretty sure the movie Zoolander stole inspiration from this movie. Like, let's go shopping! Because nothing like murdering people for...
Before you go.
Me hanging on like
a yo-yo. Start playing with gasoline.
Knee me up before you go. Dig me dead to the night.
Splashing each other with gasoline pumps. So,
while this is happening, Fran is trying to convince Flyboy that they should leave. And Flyboy's a true G. He's not leaving these dudes behind. He's fucking not gonna fucking leave his boys in the fucking mall. So Flyboy decides to go down and check out the action, leaving Fran all alone by herself upstairs. So the boys, meanwhile, are in the department store, and they're shopping spree, and they're filling up a wheelbarrow full of fucking supplies, a TV, and all types of other shit. They go to the downstairs of the department store and devise a little plan.
The old okey-doke.
So they start knocking on the glass and drawing all the zombies downstairs to the big department store entrance downstairs, basically trying to free up their path upstairs to get what they gotta get.
Come on! All right, come on! Hey! Come on!
So as they draw everybody downstairs while they're trying to escape upstairs, and he basically goes, give it time, give it time. So Flyboy, while this is all happening, finds a gun in one of the offices in the hall and some more information. He finds some schematics on the mall itself, and he runs into a pesky zombie in the maintenance room. Now, we've already mentioned what a shitty person Flyboy is at killing zombies, but this one really takes the fucking cake. I don't know who taught him how to shoot a gun at all.
And it turns out that the zombie isn't even a zombie. It's just a really sick Tom Petty.
Yes, it's just Tom Petty with
vomit on his face.
It's Tom Petty sans the Heartbreakers.
Hey, don't come around here no more because I'm sick from heroin. I'm Tom Petty.
So Flyboy is such a fucking tard that he just starts shooting at like the shadows and stuff like that in the room. He's panicking.
Now,
and
does this scene set a record for the most ricochets?
Well, I prepared a little bit of audio right here. Let's hear Flyboy shooting and what it sounds like.
One, two, three, four, five, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. And the best part is the look on his face as left, right, left, right, left.
He's just looking around like, where are these bullets going? I don't know. Where they stop? Nobody knows.
It's bouncing off the walls more than a Tron game. So.
Yes. So Flyboy is finally able to stop shooting shadows, and after much drama, kills this one. The boys are able to maneuver past the guys upstairs, and they head for the hallway, and they meet up with Flyboy, who is like shooting. They're like, you're fucking up our plan, motherfucker, what are you doing? And he's about to go run back up towards upstairs, but luckily Peter talks some sense into him.
Flyboy, don't go into the stairway. Don't open that door, baby. You'll leave them right up with you. Run for it. Run this way. You can run right through. We gotta lead them away from here. Come on.
By the way, the fact that he has to say it multiple times is like, you know that part in a game where like a character is telling you to like do something and you're like, this is the next thing you got to do, but you're not doing it. Instead, you're searching the area for items. They're like, come on, run this way. Just do it. Come on.
Come on, master of unlocking.
Yeah, yeah. So he eventually does run in the whitest fashion. He's holding the binder with the schematics, and it's just the stupidest.
Run, run, run. Come on. Hit the department store.
So they leave the wagon there in the hallway so they can go grab it later.
Where are we going? We're going to Penny's.
We're going back to Penny's. Woo! Yeah! We're ready to fuck shit up. So they head back to the department store, leaving Fran upstairs alone, and they think safe, but one pesky deadite goes to investigate the door, and it's the Hare Krishna zombie. He starts making his way up the stairwell towards Franny.
Here comes Joe Isuzu.
So I'm going to leave it there. I think that's going to be the end of episode one here, okay?
I think there's going to be a 10% of the film.
We made it a good way. We made it a good way through. I'm actually impressed with our time here because I wanted to talk about so much more, but we're going to have to save that for episode two.
You and your bullshit songs, Jeremy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jer, with your fucking shit-ass shit.
Songs about
shit.
My daughter dying.
Yeah. Honestly, Jeremy, that was the highlight of my day, if I'm going to be. If I'm going to be truthful with you, and I got to be real, I actually love
it. It might
song.
Not have been about your daughter. It might have just been about any other 5-year-old girl named Susie.
So. Yeah, it could have been fucking anyone. Yeah. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. I got a show coming up on the 19th up in the Church of Satire. That's up in Pennsylvania. So check that shit out. Hey, do us a favor, leave us a special review on the iTunes or the Stitcher. It really helps us out, and make it a 5-star rating. That's what we need. You can catch the Second Saturday Shit Show, which is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. That's up at the Audubon in Baltimore. Jeremy, take us out.
Hey, I really want to thank Adam Hutter for inviting me to the World Oddities Expo coming up in November 1st in the Lord Baltimore Hotel. And really thank John Rogers for buying a shirt and brightening up my week. So, anyway.
No, that's great. Okay. Good shout-outs. Hey, guys, yeah. Thanks so much. Take it easy. Later.